ahead. But tonight, I want to go to the book of Galatians, and we're known among those, and most of the people that love the Lord know us in this city and know of us, and we're known among them as eternal security folk. Now, this is not a scriptural term, and eternal means forever, and security means forever, and we are people who believe in the security of the believer. We're men and women that believe that eternal life is just what it says, and that it's the gift of God, and that when you receive eternal life as a gift, like Jesus said, you would never perish and never come into condemnation, and there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. But the Apostle Paul wrote this book to the Galatians. I wish I had time to give you a simple outline of it. But in this book of Galatians, and Paul wrote it especially to help those who were being troubled by legality. Now, when I say legality, this is a term that many folk may not understand. And when we think of legality, this is a term that is used to express those that believe that they go to heaven and that they receive eternal life or receive life through their own efforts by keeping certain commandments and certain laws or doing certain things, eating and refraining from certain foods and keeping days and such like. Now, the Apostle Paul constantly makes it clear that the grace of God is either without works, or if it's works, it's all works. You can't have works and grace both. That is, to get saved or to keep saved. So in this book of Galatians, seven times we find the word grace. Precious to me that three is the indivisible number of the Godhead, also the number of the resurrection. But deity is found in a trinity. And then four is the number of human weakness. This is the picture of man. He is perfectly weak. He has to have help. He not only needs just a little help, without Jesus Christ he can do nothing. And together, these two numbers give us the number seven, which shows perfection in redemption in this instance. And you see, our redemption is a perfect thing. When Jesus Christ said it was finished, that meant you accept it just as it is. You can't add anything to it, and you can't take anything from it. It's finished. He has fully completed the work of redemption. And so I want to give us a lesson along this line, showing us how it is used seven times in the book. And our first usage of the book is found in the third verse, where it says, "Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ." In this verse, we have the salutation of grace. It's a wonderful thing and a sweet thing, and sometimes I have wished that I could put it over the door of our meeting place, grace. You see, anyone that comes in to a meeting with God, it has to be by grace. The Bible teaches that your wisdom is foolishness with God. The Bible teaches that your strength is weakness with God. The Bible teaches that your self-righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Anything and everything that man does, God has to reject. Let me show you, and how often I've illustrated it to this assembly. In this way, when we get into the Old Testament, the Bible says the plowing of the wicked was sin. In other words, let me say that I am a Jew, and you're a Gentile. I don't care how badly my field may need to be plowed and how free you are to plow it. If I were to bring you in there to plow my field, that would be in the sight of God a sinful field. Now, God was simply trying to show us that man, apart from God, is absolutely, totally depraved. So when a man or a woman comes to God, they have no merit. They better not try to bring a merit. You come by grace. Over the entryway to the house of God is this word. Grace. You come by grace, supposing God were not a God of grace. How long do you think you'd live in His presence? He'd have to kill you. The thought of foolishness is sin. Have you thought anything foolish today? God would have to kill you. Don't you see that? So the salutation to these people is grace. And you'll notice how this announces that Jesus is the man of grace. You see, He was God's gift to the world, not because we deserved Him, but because we needed Him. Without Him, we would all perish. There would be no hope for us. When I look down in the world today and I think of how God must feel. You know, a party talked to me on the phone the other day. Well, if I thought that God had only given us one way to go to heaven, that would make Him an unfair God to me. Well, just make Him anything you want to. One of these days, you'll meet Him. And you'd better meet Him like He said do it. That's all I can tell you. You had better come by the way of the door. You'd better become by the way of mercy and grace. God, at a tremendous cost to Himself, provided a salvation that we did not deserve. He had to show us grace. His Son is that man of grace. Now, Paul's message was one of grace. And then you'll notice how it says, who gave Himself, our grace be to you and peace. You'll never have peace. Not really. Not really. Until you believe in the grace of God. You see, without a doubt, in spite of your best efforts, you'll come to the place that you'll question yourself. You'll begin to beat yourself. You'll begin to recognize that you're a failure. And if you don't know the grace of God, your peace will go. But you see, we have peace because we come by grace. I come to God, and I don't come to God because I deserve to, or because I merit to, or because He looks on me with a respect of persons, but I come to God knowing that His Son has made me perfectly accepted in the sight of God, and that this is a gracious thing, and so I have peace. Isn't that the way it is? Certainly. Now notice where this grace came from. From God the Father. What a tender statement, the Father. The Old Testament scarcely revealed God as a Father. Jesus introduced Him to the world, I go to my Father and your Father. And oh, what a tender Father God is. He could have revealed Himself in many, many, many ways, and has. Abraham saw Him in many ways, but do you realize that Abraham never seemed to get farther than the thought, the friend of God? But you and I call Him Father when we're born again. The very Spirit of God coming into our hearts is that by which we cry, Paul said in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, Abba, that is Father. It just seems to automatically roll out of our hearts. We feel that relationship. And then notice, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 4 shows that this is coupled with redemption, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And so, how precious it is that we see at the very beginning of this book the death of Jesus Christ displayed. And that death is the death whereby God is our Father. And He died according to the will and the purpose of God. This was God's great plan, is that Jesus die for us that we might have peace. And so we have the salutation of grace. Now in verse 6, we get this word again. And here we find we're called into grace. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, Ephesians 2:12 describes we Gentiles. Let me read it to you. Well, I'm going to read from the 11th verse of the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, note what our condition, our state, and our standing was, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now, this is the condition of all the Gentiles. Remember, the Jew, the Israelite, he had promises. He had covenants. There were certain unforfeitable promises that God had made to Abraham and confirmed to Isaac and Jacob and David. And there was irrevocable covenants that God had sealed with these men. And so a Jew had a reason to believe that God was kindly looking toward him. But then the Bible said without our dogs. Did you know that the Bible looked on the Gentile as a dog? The Syrophoenician woman coming to Jesus to have her daughter healed, she approached him and she said, Messiah, or Master, it's the same word. She said, my daughter is grievously ill. She's about to die. Said, will you heal her? And he said to her, shall I take the bread that belongs to the children and give it to dogs? And she came right back at him. But this time she came another way. She didn't call him Messiah. He wasn't her Messiah. But she called him Lord. He's everybody's Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And she said, yea, Lord, but the dogs can eat from the crumbs which fall from the children's table. He said, go thy way. Thy daughter is well. And he turned and he said, I have not seen so great faith. No, not in all Israel. And so we were dogs. We were without hope. We were without God. We were without covenants. We were without promises. We were heading for the judgment. And there was apparently no thought that God was looking toward us. And then here came the Apostle Paul. And God sent him to preach to the Gentiles. This showed that they were called into the grace of Christ. And so Jesus tasted death for every man. And God calls the Gentiles on that basis into His grace. And, you know, it's such a marvelous and a deep and a wonderful statement that we are favored of God in Christ. Now, Ephesians, let me read this to you. I quoted it a little bit ago. Ephesians 1:6, Paul is telling of the work of Christ in our redemption. And he said, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein God hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now this is not quite as clear as it ought to be. The thought here is more than just being accepted in the Beloved, but the thought is being accepted even as the Beloved. Do you think Jesus has ever had any trouble getting his Father to accept him after the resurrection? When Jesus went back to the glory, he had said it was finished. He went to the grave. He arose after 3 days. He told Mary, don't touch me, I haven't ascended to the Father yet. Can you imagine for a moment the meeting that took place when he went to his Father? Do you suppose he found a scowl on his Father's face? Do you suppose that His father was upset and troubled, and he thought, and he walked around, and he shut the door, and he opened the door, and he shut the door, and he said, I don't know whether I'm going to let you in here or not. You reckon that's the way it was? Oh, I'll tell you, if there ever was a meeting that was tender and loving and wonderful, it was when he went to his father. Oh, no one in the universe could have been accepted quite like that until you and I came in his name. Now, isn't that marvelous? Amen. We're accepted just like the Beloved when we come.